Let's pray. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We're ready for your word. Pray, God, that your word will go forth in power and might. And I pray, God, that as your word goes forth, good seed would find good soil and germinate and become great fruit in and through our lives. Bless as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What was the most difficult subject you ever had to study in school? Maybe I should ask it like this. What was the most difficult test you ever had to take? For somebody, maybe it was math, algebra, trigonometry, pre-calculus, calculus. For somebody else, maybe it was science, biology, chemistry, organic chemistry, engineering. Maybe it was English. You just struggled with getting those verb conjugations right and diagramming sentences. Or maybe it was something like a foreign language that was just a challenge. As much as you may have loved it, it was just a challenge sometimes to take that test. Or maybe you're like some people, you just didn't like taking tests, period, right? The truth of the matter is, one of the things that many of us love about being out of school is no more tests, no more exams. But I got bad news for you. The truth of the matter is, as a follower of Jesus, as a child of God, you will still have tests in life. Specifically, you will have time after time when your faith is tested. Life will test your faith. Trials will knock at your door. Storms will shake your foundation. Fears will whisper in your ear that you're not going to make it. And one of the things that I've learned is that the Word of God teaches us that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. That you're going to have to face and go through some tests in life. You're going to have to go through some trials. And you have to understand that when those tests come, they're not meant to destroy you. They are meant to help you develop, to help you grow. And so today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to pass the testing of your faith. How to pass the testing of your faith. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can download a copy of our outline by going to the Good Hope app, and you can fill in the blank right there on your app, wherever you get your apps, or you can go to our website at goodhope.org. It's in this first chapter of the book of Daniel where our text is coming from. We see in this chapter the stand of four young Hebrew exiles against personal defilement. Their faith in God was tested, and that faith being tested required courage, determination, commitment, and obedience to God, which would serve them well in the stories that will follow later on. They engaged in a battle for purity, the purity of their faith, in a foreign and antagonistic culture. And we look at this story through the lens of this young man named Daniel. Daniel shows us a devotion and demonstrates the power of trusting in God, even in a foreign land. Three things I want you to see today around this idea of how to pass the testing of your faith. Here's the first thing. Number one, you must focus on keeping God's purpose for your life even when your faith is challenged. You must focus on keeping God's purpose for your life even when your faith is challenged. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, you have it on your outlines, the New Living Translation. The Bible says that Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. The king had told them to identify all of the handsome, young, intelligent exile boys and young men who were brought into Babylon from Jerusalem. And Daniel and three others were selected. One was named Hananiah, one was named Mishael, and one was named Azariah. You know them better by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's interesting is Daniel was also given a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, but we don't know him by that name. He was able to retain his given name, Daniel. And the text says that the king made a decision that these young men would be groomed, they would be trained to become part of the royal court, and he would make available to them his wine and his meat. He would not spare anything to give them every opportunity to fulfill their potential so that they could serve the king well. But the Bible says Daniel and these three young men had a challenge before them. Would they embrace the pleasures that were presented by the king, or would they focus on keeping the purpose of God for their lives? Let me share with you something that all of us need to deal with. All of us, if we're going to walk with God, will have that decision challenged by the world around us. Look at A. You have to keep God's purpose for your life when you are in a challenging place. They were in Babylonian captivity. They were not in their home neighborhood. They were in a strange land. And the Bible says they had to embrace some things about not being at home, but the one thing that they would not embrace was turning their back on God's purpose for their lives. They remained faithful to what God had called them to do. Somebody in here under the sound of my voice needs to recognize that you might be in a strange, challenging place. That place does not have to be a geographic location. For somebody under the sound of my voice, it is a mental place. For somebody else, it is an emotional place. For somebody else, it is a spiritual place where God has you and you are being tested. Your faith is being tested. God wants to know, are you going to trust him in the midst of the test, even when you find yourself in a challenging place? Can I tell you something? When you find yourself in that challenging place, the temptation is to look at what you're dealing with or who you're dealing with and to stop focusing on God. And God says, you've got to learn how to focus on me no matter what the offer is, and no matter what the devil tries to do to distract you from focusing on God. But it's not just a challenging place. B, you got to keep God's purpose your life when you're in a challenging predicament. Think about this. All of these exiles have come, and many of them have been chosen to serve in the king's court. So there would clearly be some peer pressure that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would have to deal with. Because it's the king's meat and it's the king's wine. That means it's the best in the land. What if somebody invited you to the best restaurant and gave you a menu and said, you can order whatever you want, as much as you want, But everything on that menu was counter to what God had told you to do and what God had told you to eat. Can you imagine the peer pressure? Man, why aren't you eating? You think you better than us? You can't eat the king's food? You can't drink the king's wine? And Daniel makes a counter offer. All we want are vegetables and water. Most of you have heard of the Daniel fast. This is where it comes from. That you're going to eat vegetables and you're going to drink water, and that's all we're going to do. There was a fear that Ashpenaz and the one who would report to him had. Because when Daniel offered his compromise and said, listen, give us vegetables and we'll eat vegetables and drink water, it was like, man, look here. The king told us to feed y'all well. The last thing I want is for you to be looking bad, talking about you only have vegetables and water, and the king take my head. And the compromise was offered. Give us 10 days. 10 days eating vegetables and drinking water. And then look and see if we look worse than they do or they look worse than us. Listen, you've got to keep God's purpose for your life. Regardless of the place you are, regardless of the predicament you may find yourself in. See, let's be honest. Sometimes we find ourselves in places where we don't really want to show that we so much of a Christian. You know what I mean? Like, for example, you at the office party and you get your food and you want to say grace, but nobody else is saying grace. So what you going to do? Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? We won't be undercover Christians at that point. Not knowing that your prayer in public just might be the encouragement somebody needs to make a decision for God for themselves. That there's no harm in you saying, excuse me, just for a moment, let me pray over my food. That it is a form of testimony that you thank God for everything that you have received. And again, just like the place, the predicament can be a spiritual, mental, emotional, or physical challenge. But you get to that place when God is testing your faith. Do you really believe God? Are you really going to trust God? Are you going to trust God when your peers are not in support of you? Are you going to trust God when the place that you're in doesn't make it easy to trust God? See, you need to make a commitment to keep God's purpose for your life, your priority, regardless of the place and predicament you find yourself in. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must exercise your faith in God, especially in the presence of fear. You must exercise your faith in God, especially in the presence of fear. Now watch this. Ashpenaz and his chief of staff were afraid that if they went along with Daniel's plan, they would look bad and they would suffer the consequences for not obeying the king. Watch what the text says, verse 15, Daniel chapter 1. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. Now, listen carefully. The only thing worse than allowing your fear to hold you back is to allow somebody else's fear to hold you back. Daniel and the three young men would not allow the fear of somebody else to be projected upon them to cause them to disobey God's purpose for their lives. They heard his fear. But they said, no, we are going to trust God. And they literally became a lesson for the entire nation of Israel, who was continually living in disobedience to God's law, and for believers in godless and morally bankrupt societies. Daniel teaches us to remain true to your faith and remain true to your convictions, regardless of the hostility that you find in the environment that you are in. See, there will come times when people may question why you're doing certain things or why you're not doing certain things in public, especially when those activities seem harmless to them. But you need to recognize, just because it may be harmless to them, it has nothing to do with you maintaining your convictions in terms of what God is telling you. So when they say, well, why won't you go here? Why don't you hang out with us here? Oh, you think you're too good. Why won't you drink this? Why won't you smoke this? Why won't you try this? And God says to each of us, your faith is going to be tested. And you have to decide, are you going to pass the test or be forced to go to a remedial program in the name of Jesus? God wants to make sure you live by faith and not fear. And when your faith is tested, you must have faith that in God's care, you will not only survive, but you will thrive. I want you to notice something. The text says, after 10 days, they look better and stronger than everybody else. And the text later says that they were 10 times more intelligent than everybody else. Because God has a way of blessing on the other side of your obedience. See, the trouble is, too many of us, we want God's blessings and then we're going to obey. At least that's what we tell God. And God says, no, I don't have to bless you to obey. I need you to obey. And when you obey, miracles show up on the other side of your obedience. Here's a third and final thing. Number three, you must trust that obeying God will bless you to pass the test. Obeying God will bless you to pass the test. Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. And whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. Despite Daniel's age and the age of those three, scholars believe they were somewhere between 14 and 16 years old. If that's true, and Daniel would serve until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus, that means Daniel served in this position some 60 plus years. But Daniel could not have been there if he did not honor God in all that he did. The text says the king communed with them, and none were found better than Daniel and his friends. You see, Daniel was determined to honor God. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Babylonian names, they were determined to honor God. And they didn't pray for and receive immediate release from captivity. But they demonstrated how God kept them, elevated them, and ultimately made them victorious in the midst of a treacherous situation. Can I tell somebody something? God doesn't have to move you to bless you. As a matter of fact, if God is going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, he needs enemies around to witness what he's going to do. You want God to move you away from your enemies, and God says, if I move them away, I can't make a table in front of them. When you learn how to allow God to bless you where you are, God can bless you without giving your enemies peace of mind. Now, here's what you need to understand. This is Daniel chapter 1, y'all. They're just starting their time in Babylonian captivity. But here's what I want you to see. They learned how to trust God in the little things, which served them well when they were tested by God in the bigger things. Because remember, it's that same Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael. They're the same ones, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would be put in a fiery furnace. If they didn't develop faith to trust God with wine and food, they could have never trusted God when they were facing the fire. It's the same Daniel who would give the king messages that the king approved of. But when a word from the Lord came that the king did not approve of, it's that same Daniel that was sent to the lion's den. And the Bible says God put the lions on a diet all night long and allowed Daniel to walk out in one piece, because it was the faith in the little things that helped them build spiritual character for the big things. Y'all, let me help somebody. Don't deny the growth opportunities that God puts in front of you in the little things. It's the little opportunity. See, don't tell a little lie and then think later on you're going to tell a big truth. If you start lying a little, you're going to keep lying when it gets bigger. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Don't steal a little and say it's all right because everybody does it, and then think all of a sudden you're not going to steal when it becomes a lot. Yeah. Nobody who has stolen a lot didn't start by stealing a little. Amen. That's how your character is built. That's how your character is developed. You've got to learn how to honor God in everything that you do. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Let's read it together. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promise. Some of y'all use your outdoor voice. Y'all sound real soft in here. Folk watching gonna think I'm reading all by myself. Come on. Let's start again. Therefore, Lord God of Israel says, I promised that your branch tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. What an example Daniel is for all of us. Think how often you attempted to compromise your commitment to the Lord. Think how many times you attempted to be silent when you should say something. Think how many times you attempted to go when you should stay. Think how many times God provides a way of escape for you, but you continue down that path of temptation until you get to the place of sin. God says you've got to pass the test of faith. How often has the culture around you tempted you to commit some sin? How often have the luxuries of the world tempted you to disobey God? How often have you allowed your desire for position, power, and prestige to consume you? How often have you put achieving your personal ambition before serving God? How often has the culture around you tempted you to keep you silent about the fact that you are a follower of Jesus? Every day you will face temptations. Every day your faith will be tested. And you have to decide, are you going to make a commitment to God or are you going to compromise who you are in God? You must be faithful in living for the Lord. No matter how much pressure people put on you, no matter how much pressure a place puts on you, no matter how much a predicament may put you in a compromising place, you must stand fast and not give in to the seduction of sin. No matter how appealing, attractive, or enticing the urge may be, you must take a strong stand for the Lord. You must purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself and you will not deny or defy God. Listen to what God says. Look at Matthew 10, 22. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let's read it together. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Everybody say due season. That phrase, due season, is the Greek word kairos. It is distinguished from the word chronos, where we get words like chronology or chronological from. Chronos is linear time. It's sequential time. But kairos is God's appointed time. So you may be at a place where you are frustrated because in your linear time, it seems to be taking longer than it should. But God wants you to know he's not restricted by linear time. God says you just got to hold on until due season. And you shall reap. I wish I had a witness in here. If you faint not. If you want to pass the testing of your faith, you must keep your eyes on God's purpose. You got to exercise your faith in him. And you've got to trust that obedience will always lead to a blessing. See, when your faith is tested, it's not a sign that God has abandoned you. It's proof that God is shaping you. Testing does not come to break you down. Testing comes to build you up. If you keep God's purpose in sight, God will bless you and make you into what he wants you to be. At every end of every test, there's a testimony. And when you pass the testing of your faith, you have a testimony that gives God the glory. Have I got a witness here? When you're in a place that feels like prison, hold on, because God still has a purpose. When you're in a predicament that feels like punishment, trust God because he's still working his plan. When fear comes knocking on your door, send faith to go answer the door for you. When doubt rises to rob you of your peace, let obedience to God bring you relief. Because faith that is tested can be trusted. Faith that is stressed can be strengthened. Faith that is tried is a faith that is true. And the same God who has blessed you can bless you again if you pass your test. So don't give up in the middle of your test. Stand strong, keep believing, and know if you trust him and never doubt, he will bring you out. Have I got a witness here? Yes! Yes! If you trust him when you're tried, if you obey him when you've been pressed, if you keep your hands in God's hand, if you say no to people and say yes to God, God will bless your life. Have I got a witness here? Your life will be a living testimony that God is able to give you the victory in the midst of whatever is going on around you. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Yes, yes, yes. I know he's all right. Father, we bless you. Father, we thank you. I pray now, God, that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. Somebody today is going through a test, God. Matter of fact, they've been going through a test. And in the midst of the test, they have been focusing on what they're being tested with, instead of the one who controls the testing. God, I pray today that they would take their eyes off of the situation, the circumstance, the people, the place, or the predicament, and help them, God, to put their eyes on you, to recognize that the testing of their faith has a purpose, and it's to make us and mold us to become more like you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can somebody give God some praise in this place? Everyone who can, everyone who will, if you stand on your feet, please, wherever you are, upstairs or down, to my left or to my right. Somebody here today, you've been going through a test for God to get your attention. Every test, I believe, has one of three purposes, sometimes all three. Sometimes God wants to teach you something about yourself. You may have been thinking more highly of yourself than you should. Maybe God is trying to teach you something about somebody else. But ultimately, God wants to teach you something about him. That God needs to be the joy and the strength of your life. That you should never be surprised when a test comes, because tests are a part of this Christian journey. Just be prepared when the test comes. If you're here today, God has spoken to you, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. There's a QR code. It's coming up on the screen. And that QR code, for those of you who are at home or wherever you're watching, you can use to make that next step in your life. To say, yes, God, I hear you. Been in the test, and I haven't done as well in the test as I should have.
But here's what I want you to know. The test that you may have flunked is not the last test you're going to have. God gives makeup tests all the time. And sometimes God will change the name, but he won't change the predicament. He might change the person, but here comes the same situation. And you're like, Lord, what you trying to do? You trying to see if I learned that lesson? Okay, Lord, I got you. If you'd like to ask Jesus Christ into your life, you can use that QR code. Those of you who are here in the sanctuary, upstairs or down, you can use that same QR code. If you want to ask Jesus Christ into your life, you want to become a member of the church, those of you who are online, our gladiators are in the prayer room. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, just indicate in the chat, I need somebody to pray with me. And they'll be happy to pray with you. If you're in person and you like a real person, shake your hand, put their arms around you, pray with you, we invite you to come and say yes. At the end of the day, the first test that God gives is the test of salvation. For you to say, yes, Lord, I believe. Then after that, the second test is a test of sanctification. Yes, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. If you're looking for a church home, we're not perfect. Man, we're so far from it. That's why we welcome you to join us. Because we are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. And we love for you to join us on this journey. So as Elder Taylor sings, if you're here right now, we invite you to come.
I will be with you.
We won't look at you funny and you don't have to walk by yourself.
I will be with you.
Come on, if you're a member of Good Hope, raise your hand. If you're a member of the church, raise your hand.
I will.
Look around, look around, look around you right now. So if you need somebody to walk with you, just look at one of the people got their hand up and say, come on and walk with me. Would you walk with me, please? So you don't have to walk by yourself. Come on. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice when you come. Come on.
Trust me. I'll never leave you.
Come on. I'll never leave you.
I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. If you will only trust me,
Listen, I want to have a time of prayer. Somebody, the test of faith that God has you in is, will you trust God with what God is telling you to do? And you know God is telling you to do it. Confirmation has come. But you'd rather stay where you are. You're more comfortable in the known than stretching out with God in the unknown. And God says, I need you to trust me. It might be your own exile that God is taking you through. And listen, here's one of the things that you have to learn as a believer. Many times we think a situation has to be bad in order for God to tell us to leave. And sometimes it can be good, and God says, your season is up. I need you to make that next step. I need you to make that next move. I need you to take that next step of faith. And right now you're here, but here's the truth. you're standing in disobedience. Not because you're in the church, but because you're not doing what God has already told you to do. I want to pray for you right now. Come on down and come. If you're upstairs or downstairs, come on and come. I want to pray for you. If you're facing that tough decision, I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's your job. I don't know if it's your family. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's school, but it's something that you already know God is calling you to do. God is telling you to do it. He's already told you. And you keep on asking God, God, you sure? God, you sure? You sure? You sure this is what you want me to do? And God says, how many times I got to tell you? Matter of fact, you stop saying you're waiting on God because you already know God is waiting on you. I need somebody to take a step of faith and say, Pastor, you talking to me? You talking to me? I've been holding myself back. Been holding myself back. Can't blame anybody else. I've been holding myself back. I have self-sabotaged myself. I can't blame the devil or anybody else. Somebody else, I'm waiting on you. There's somebody else. Spirit of God said, there's somebody else. I'm waiting on you. God says, you need to come on. Holy Spirit said, you know I'm talking to you. God's up in the balcony. You're up in the balcony. Holy Spirit said, you already know he's talking to you. Come on and come. See, you can't make that step of faith to see God do what only God can do. Until you say yes. Until you say yes. I see you coming. Until you say yes. Until you say yes. So somebody, listen, God's already told you to step out on faith. God already told you to step out on faith. But because you know where the paycheck is coming from now, you trust the paycheck of now instead of stepping out and doing what God has told you to do. God told you. And you say, well, God, you got to show me. No, God said, I'm not going to show you anymore. I've already told you enough. You trusted God when you had nothing. Now you want to question God when you have something. God says, no, I need you to trust me with what I already blessed you with. God said, what you have, I gave you. I made a way for you. I blessed your life so you would prosper. And now you won't trust me with what I blessed you with? Join hands with somebody. Touch somebody around you. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who are under the sound of my voice, they can testify to the faith test that they are in, are going to go through, or what they've already been through. And God, you have shown us, if we just look in the backyard of our life, you can show us where you never failed when we exercised and stepped out on faith with you. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those under the sound of my voice, those who are watching, wherever they are in the world, that you would assure them once again of what you have said, what you want them to do, and give them the courage and the determination, just like Daniel had, just like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had. Give them the determination and the courage to have faith in you and to believe that you can do what no other power can do. Touch right now. Convict right now. And God, help somebody to not look for approval or validation from somebody else for what you have told them to do. Help them to recognize, God, that when you give the first opinion, there's no need for a second opinion. And that talking ourselves out of what you have told us to do is disobedience, it's sin. So help us, God, to step out on faith and believe you so that we can pass the test of faith in our lives. Where our prayers fall short, make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Encourage somebody around you. Tell them we're going to pass the test. Look at them. Tell them we're going to pass the test. Tell them we're going to pass the test.
Trust me, trust me.